2 weeks is that this is the second half of the year.
Amen. How many of you are glad for the second half? Amen. You know when you play basketball or football and you come to halftime, you go into the locker room, and you start, and maybe your game was not quite up to snuff.
Come on now.
You're down by 2 points or one touchdown, and you begin to re-strategize, replan, get a fresh cup of coffee or water or Red Bull or something.
Come on.
Coach gives you a little fresh strategy, and you go out and kick it hard in the second half.
Come on.
Well, hey, maybe for some of you this year, it's halftime. It's the second half. It's time to kick it hard. Amen.
Right. Yes.
I'm honored to be with you today. Always grateful for the opportunity to share the Word of God and Jesus in a good time together.
Amen.
You know, Pastor mentioned some of the things that we do, and I don't want to take a lot of time to talk about that. I'd rather talk straight about Jesus from the Word of God. But one of the things the Lord has laid on my life, the Lord's assigned a city to my life.
Come on now.
It's the city of New Orleans.
Amen.
Now, it's kind of crazy because I'm not from New Orleans. I'm from New Jersey.
Hello.
So it's not like I got a burden for my hometown. Look, I was pretty wicked, but what they do down there makes me look like Billy Graham's golden child. And thirdly, I'm Jewish, and I'm going to, anyone here from South Louisiana, I just want to make sure I don't insult anybody greatly. What some of them Cajun folk eat could violate a Jewish man's heritage. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Nevertheless, the Lord, many years ago, told me to take an army or a team there, and the team's turned into an army.
Come on.
Where you have a million people coming from all over the world to get crazy, drunk, naked, weird, and insane. And we're there to meet them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our little team has exploded to an army of about 400.
Come on now.
And we rent a school. We house everybody. We may be doing it multi-site soon. But I'm going to take you to New Orleans for a couple of minutes. Don't worry. You don't have to go through the airport, take off your shoes, or empty your purse. But we're going to go to New Orleans for just about 2.5 minutes. Would you like to go? Thank you. We're on our way. And imagine you're in a van on your way into the city. That's just a little bit of an assignment Jesus gave to my life many years ago that I'm so grateful, where we've seen thousands and thousands of people give their life to Jesus on the streets. Miracles of healing take place. Churches encouraged and so much more. Hey, maybe some of you may want to join us there at some point in time. We've had some folks from the churches in the Metroplex in the past. And hey, if you're solid walking with Jesus for a good season, boy, we'd love to hear from you.
Amen.
Going there the first week of March again, and we have prayer meetings that are required to be a part of to get you ready for deep sea fishing. So praise the Lord. How many of you are glad you are here today? Absolutely. How many of you are glad you'd rather be here than the best jail in Dallas County? Oh, I'm sorry I said that now, didn't I? I want to ask if any of you have ever been there. Moving right along. Not this bunch. I get it very, very, very well. Well, the message that I really feel like I need to bring to you today is I want to look at a passage of Scripture just as kind of a to set the tone for where we're going today. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. You may have heard of these folks in this particular tribe of Israel. And we read that from the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. Now get this. All these, say all these.
All these.
Men understood the signs of the time. Say signs of the time.
Signs of the time.
And knew the best course for Israel to take. Say best course.
Best course.
These men understood what was happening and had a plan for further action. Now, the term best course is interesting. I think about, there's a phrase that's used today, maybe some of you have heard it called best practice. Have you ever heard, how many of you have ever heard that phrase, best practice? What do I mean by best practice? In different fields, in medicine, in manufacturing, in engineering, and even in church planting and church ministry, there's something that's called best practices. It's not a deep term. It means the best practice to do something. How many of you know there's okay ways to do stuff and there's best ways to do stuff?
Amen.
And when we come to Christ, we find a best practice for living life honoring God. Now, don't we?
Yes.
And so today, we're going to talk about some best practices a little later in the message.
Good.
Now, let me ask this question. How many of you have ever seen a Star Wars movie?
Amen.
Yes.
If you've not, well, you'll catch up in this sermon real quick. But, you know, you go to the movie and there's the screen. In the opening scene, they are scrolling down with a starlit, outer space sky. And it says something like, in a far off galaxy a long time ago or something like that. How many of you have that picture in your brain? Well, keep that picture in your brain, but I want to change the script. In a time not so long ago, in the land we're blessed to call our home, America, we find ourselves in the 1960s. Now, some of you were just a gleam in your mama's eye in the 60s. I can tell by looking at you here today, you go, well, that's fine. I wasn't here. Or maybe you were in an embryonic state. And for those of us who were there, just talking about that era, I mean, brings up different memories of hairstyles and cars and music and whatnot. And then those of you that weren't there, just watch an old TV show someplace. Now, this is not a Happy Days retro sermon. I just want to tell you that right up front.
Come on.
But fast forward to today. There's a striking parallel between the 1960s and 2018. As we take a look at the topsy-turvy, inside-out, upside-down, moral, political, social climate that you and I are living in, there is a very strange similarity, believe it or not. If you want to look back to that time, historically, the 1960s and early 70s, Time magazine on October 25th, 1965, had a lead article promoting the God is Dead movement. John F. Kennedy was running for president, and he became the target of hate groups because he was a Roman Catholic. So there was public religious persecution. The Vietnam War was tearing this nation upside one end and down the other and inside out. Drugs really blew up. Free love, free speech movement, student unrest in campuses. Wow. On May 4th, 1970 in Kent State, Ohio, four students were killed, and it burned indelibly in the bones of men and women across America. I can remember going to a college dance, and they were playing that song by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Four Dead in Ohio. And Vietnam veterans started to burn with anger, and students just became irritated just at the mention of the murder of those college students on an American campus. In the summer of 1967, there were 159 race riots in the United States. The most powerful youth generation ever to come to America, the post-war baby boom, was coming of age. We pushed the lines of morality and obliterated many of society's boundaries, laying the groundwork for where we are today. The self-destruct button had been pushed and the countdown had begun. But, I say that word loudly, for a lot of reasons. But I follow with a question. Could this have been the beginning for a setup?
Come on, come on.
History tells the story. Remember, darkness is a setup for light.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Good.
Hurt for healing. The desert for an oasis or water. I just spent 10 days in the Arizona desert until last Friday. I love water more than ever. Praise the Lord. You see, in the midst of all of this, at the end of the 60s and early 70s, heaven responded with a double-barrel blast.
Yes, yeah, amen. Yeah.
The first was a thing called the charismatic renewal. What took place there was an invasion of the baptism in the Holy Spirit and an emphasis in Bible teaching believers in churches. I mean, it was crazy. Then there was the more forceful, jagged-edged thing that was called the Jesus movement. The charismatic renewal was like a revival. A revival means bringing back something that once was.
Come on.
The church was maybe near comatose, but the baptism in the Holy Spirit brought a fresh sense of life in God and teaching from the Word of God. Amen. Secondly was the Jesus movement that began to reach so many of the broken, disenfranchised, crazy, whacked out youth generation. And while there was a great harvest of young men and women, and great music, incidentally. The greater divine... Look, I played in a Jesus rock and roll band. It wasn't contemporary Christian music. I played drums, and we didn't have cages. We didn't have electronic drums. And most of our band were guys who used to play in nightclubs and got saved and had, you know, we stacked up amplifiers all over the place and speakers. And when we played in the church, you better have a healing ministry because the deacons had cardiac arrest with all of that stuff. And while there was a great, divinely orchestrated, double-edged initiative that took place, the one simple word that describes it all is change. Wow. It most certainly was needed.
Yeah. Maybe even so today.
Amen.
Yeah.
Is it possible that God, with these similarities, might strike again? He has a history and a track record tying himself to difficult times in the nation that we live in.
Amen.
Let me back up and track a little bit. Everyone's still okay with this message? I hope so, because I'm going to preach it all the way anyway. Remember, I'm from New Jersey. I'm just straight up and in your face. I don't drink sweet tea. Well, I do, but not like we're thinking about. Following the Civil War and the Great Chicago Fire came the great Dwight L. Moody, D.L. Moody campaigns across America. At the turn of the century, the last century, came the Topeka outpouring of the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the Azusa Street Revival, if you've ever heard of any of these things. In the middle of World War I was a crazy baseball player that got saved and turned into one of the greatest evangelists in America. His name was Billy Sunday. He took on liquor by the drink and alcoholism and drunkenness.
Yes.
Preached against it openly.
Yeah, man. Right.
During the Great Depression, there was a woman in Echo Park in Los Angeles who put a shovel in the dirt because God called her to build a building.
Come on.
And God spoke to her, if you dig a hole, I'll fill it.
Come on now.
And what she built was Angelus Temple.
Come on now.
Her name was Amy Semple McPherson.
Yeah, man.
And it's funny, there is no building in America built for a Holy Ghost ministry that's had a longer continual run than Amy Semple McPherson.
Amen.
From 1923, and yes, the building waned, but then they asked Matthew Barnett, pastor of the Dream Center, to become the senior pastor of it. And Echo Park was one of the worst neighborhoods in Los Angeles. And all of a sudden, when he became pastor, the thing blew up again.
Come on. Man.
Amy fed 1 million people on the streets during the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. There were closets filled with crutches and braces, people getting healed.
Yes.
She had a brand new illustrated sermon, a brand new drama, a brand new play, if we want to use our vernacular, every Sunday night, packed to capacity in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Over 5,000 people, let alone Sunday morning.
Wow.
Then came World War II, and right after World War II, came the great miracle and healing revivals.
Right.
And the launching of a campaign evangelist by the name of Billy Graham.
That's right, amen.
Then we come to the Vietnam era. We have the charismatic renewal. We have the Jesus movement. And it's funny, in the middle of that, in 1967, Victory Outreach was launched. Well, what do you know about that?
Come on. That's right.
Could we be headed for another setup?
Come on. Yeah, that's good. Amen.
If so.
Yes, yes, yes.
And without attempting to be overly presumptive, there's a question that arises in addition. How can I be a part of this setup?
Yes. Right. Amen. Yes.
And not miss it?
That's right.
It is possible for God to do something and we miss it.
Wow. My God.
Really? Yes.
Come on.
If you look at Luke chapter 19 in verse 44. I forget whether I gave that to you guys or not. I didn't. He's shaking his head. Okay, that's good. I repent publicly. But you see, Jesus comes and he weeps because the people of God at that time did not know about their time of visitation. They didn't get the fact that the Son of God had come to them. They missed it.
Wow.
During this thing we call the Jesus movement, there were two kinds of preachers in those days. And this was the time of all we had these see-through pulpits or these little skinny things that, you know, that you just got a little pole and a flat thing on top for your Bible. We had these big oak things, big wooden things, man, that were like this big. You could have a family of five have Thanksgiving dinner on it. But there's another thing it did. It held the knocking, it hid the knocking knees of scared preacher. Right here, there's nothing to the left to the imagination. You can see my knees. You can see my shoes and whatever else. And there were two kinds of preachers in those days. There was one kind of preacher who said, God's not going to save those kind of people in this church. What kind of people are those? People like me. Dope fiends, crazy people. People that hadn't taken a bath in days, long hair, barefoot, short shorts, you know, all nastied out, and would come and sit on the floor. And they would say, well, God's not going to save people like that here. Well, guess what? He didn't.
Come on.
When you draw a line, God draws a line.
That's good. Come on.
And then there were some that may not have been really bold, filled with faith, but they did a smart thing. They opened their Bible and preached the Word of God.
Yes. Man, yes.
Didn't run anybody out. Maybe they hid behind this thing and were doing this kind of number as they preached because they were scared. And people began to hear the Word of God, have a close encounter with Jesus Christ. Their life would be changed. Maybe they'd get a close encounter with soap and water later on. Who knows? But nevertheless, the clothes changed. They put on shoes. They wore decent clothes.
Amen.
After they had a close encounter with Jesus. How many of you know Jesus catches his fish before he cleans them?
Yes.
So I want to give you and offer up to you three best practices. Remember that phrase from a little while ago.
Yeah, amen.
In our time together this morning, that will help us be people that move forward with God. As we look at John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, interesting story being unfolded here. We read that nevertheless, even amongst the rulers, many believed in him or Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Get this, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God.
Wow.
Now, God is going to move through people who publicly fess up and say, I belong to Jesus.
Amen.
You know, kind of reminds me of a young man. He proposes to the love of his life. He says, sweetheart, will you marry me?
Yes. But there's something I need to say. I want to be your wife. I'll keep your house. I'll have children with you. We'll live together. But I don't want your name.
Wow.
Jesus.
Wow.
She wants the 401k. Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Come on.
House. Clothes. Alexis. Or a Chevy. But she doesn't want to be known as Mrs. McGillicuddy.
Nobody wants to really go to hell.
Oh my God.
No one wants to suffer.
Come on.
No one wants to live in torment and pain.
Wow.
They may even claim to be spiritual. They may even want to say they believe in God. Now, hear me. God is my Father. But how many times do I drive down a freeway and I say things about God, and I get it. But I'm like, which God are you talking about?
Come on.
And in some places, the signs are so nebulous. Are you God? Are you talking about the one that you shaved in the morning as you looked in the mirror? Are you talking about when you got into the car and you just pushed the button, didn't even need a key, and pulled out of the driveway the Maserati or whatever the Bentley rolls? Are you talking about your sweetie pie or your honey bunch? Are you talking about your greenbacks?
Come on.
It's only one name, my friend. Again, God is our Father.
Yeah. Amen.
I have no issue talking about God. I have and will continually. These guys were religious. They might have even been called spiritual.
Yeah.
But when it came to fessing up, saying, I belong to the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Because they feared a little persecution. They feared a little rejection. They feared people wouldn't accept them if they really went out and said, I belong to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. And no way to the Father but through me. All roads do not lead to the top of the mountain.
Come on.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Identification.
Good.
It goes deeper and much further than this. God so loved the world. That's pretty big.
Yes.
Somebody once said, I love the world. It's people I can't stand.
Come on.
Folks, pastor, church, keep your world big.
Yes.
Victory Outreach is growing and is large.
Yes.
But it's much bigger than Victory Outreach.
That's right. Yes.
It's much bigger than Pentecostal people.
Yeah.
It's much bigger. We're part of a family.
Amen.
A huge family.
Right. Yes.
It's not uncommon today for this. How many of you seen this Ancestry.com thing? Not uncommon for people to spit in a test tube and find out they got relatives they never knew about.
Come on.
Some of it's a little freaky. We're part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
You got more family than you ever dreamed.
Amen.
My fingertip has no idea what an ear does, but it's connected.
Amen. It's good. Come on. It's good.
Keep your world big in God and Christ.
Amen.
The most dangerous thing you can do is begin to segment yourself apart from the rest of the bona fide body of Christ.
Oh, come on.
That's powerful.
That's been one of the great keys for Pastor Sonny.
Amen.
In leading this movement.
Yes.
Is his cross-pollination and his interaction over the years with others, including weird ducks like me. Paul in Acts 20:27 said this, "I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God."
That's good.
The whole book. Some of us have holy Bibles. It's filled with holes because we cut out verses we don't like. You'll read some things you don't like because it strikes at the core of our flesh and our old life. Identify with a big God. Eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard, nor hasn't entered into the heart or mind of man what God prepared for those who love Him. Dream big, anchored in the Word of God, but God is bigger than whatever thing you could ever imagine, even if He gives it to you. He does exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask. And some of us can ask a lot. Our name is Jimmy, all we say is gimme. Yeah, I mean it.
Come on.
Exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. That is talking about the God and what He does in us and through us through His Spirit. We identify with the Word of God.
Yes, yes, yes.
I can preach a message on the Word of God here and people get bored and go to sleep. When I was in Cuba again a few weeks ago for my third time there in 18 months, a communist-controlled nation. Victory Hour was just a great growing church in Havana. We've been all over the island in so many situations. We preach training pastors and leaders during the day and go into house churches at night. And when you preach a message on being a people of the book, the Word of God, tears well up in people's eyes. Because they understand the power. And I preach, you can never enslave a Bible-reading people.
Amen. Good.
I don't know about you, but the Word of God set me free.
Yes.
When I gave my life to Jesus, at one point I didn't read much. If it didn't have pictures, it didn't pay much attention to it. And I started to read the Bible. I was reading the Living Bible, kind of a paraphrase. That's okay. There's enough of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that began to clean this old drug addict's brain out.
Amen, amen.
I got brainwashed. I got my brains washed in the water of God's Word and cleansed in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
I like to take baths every day, don't you?
Amen, amen.
We identify with the Word of God. We identify with the people of God. A church not being a weak, namby-pamby thing, but something that the gates of hell will not prevail against. Actually, we flip the script and prevail against the gates of hell. Help me, somebody.
Yeah.
We identify with the kingdom of God going forward, not backward. We identify with being a new creature, not an old creature.
Yes.
I didn't want to act like a drug addict. I didn't want to talk like a drug addict.
Yeah.
I didn't want to walk like a drug addict after I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I wanted to be brand new.
Yes.
Old life held nothing for me except death, hell, prisoner of the grave.
Come on. That's right.
I wanted all Jesus had for me. That's 28 years ago. I'm still rocking in that box. I don't want to go backwards. Ain't nothing there.
That's right. That's right. Good.
Identification. I could go on that. Jesus will move through people that identify with Him in every way, shape, and form. The second best practice is we look at John 1:6. Reads like this. There was a man sent from God and his name was John. Well, I like this one. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Let's read that verse together. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. Let's read it again. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John.
I like the number three. One more time. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, God sent him, or I'm going to use the word injected him, into a specific time and place for a purpose. God placed him there. I believe God has placed you here. And now,
yes.
Some of you have overcome overwhelming odds in life.
Yes.
My life began as I was being carried in my mother's womb in a womb filled with tumors.
Wow.
And they were at the point of having to make a decision. Who do they save?
Wow.
Mother or child?
Amen.
Both of us came through.
Wow. Amen.
Thank the Lord. Some of you came through all kinds of things with you here today. God has you here for a purpose.
That's right, amen, amen.
Let's put that verse up again. I want to read it again, but I want to change something very slightly, but importantly in that verse. Where it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I want you to put your name here.
Come on now, amen.
In the place of John. Now, ladies, I understand this could be a challenge. To say there was a man sent from God and his name was Sally. That just doesn't sound right. So I want to give you an option. Two options. Number one, if you can say woman like one syllable, roll with it. Or go with me with man as in mankind, not in man as singular gender. Is that okay? Thank you. But I want you to say it. And I want you to put your name in there. There was a man sent from God whose name was Scott. Again. There was a man sent from God whose name was Scott. Again. There was a man sent from God whose name was Scott. One more time, but I want you to close your eyes and listen with the ears of your heart. There was a man sent from God whose name was Scott. Did you hear me?
It's heavy.
Amen. It's good.
Yes.
Jesus in John 17:18 said, Fathers, you sent me.
Woo, come on.
Wow. Come on.
I have sent, placed, or injected them into this time and this place for purpose.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, come on.
We are here for such a time.
Yes.
As this. I'm not into overhype. I don't work well with it. But I am into truth.
Wow.
And this is absolutely true for every man,
yes,
woman, boy, or girl in here who has determined and decided to follow Christ.
Amen.
Psalm 37:23 reads like this: the steps of a good man and a woman are directed by the Lord. You want to know how God guides your life? It's not by the big stuff. God, what is my career? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to live? What is my ministry? God guides your life by steps. Now, if you get out of step, you won't connect the dots to the larger thing in your life.
Amen.
But God leads you by steps. He has ordered your and directed you. The moment you said, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, live in my life, all of a sudden, your directional force changed.
Yeah.
Now, you run into trouble when you try to go run the old way, walk the old way.
That's right.
When you hear that song, walk this way, don't walk that way.
Come on.
I never thought of that before. Wow, the anointing is crazy. Anyway, we are here for the Father's business.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Every one of us here today.
Good.
Amen, amen.
If you've chosen to follow Jesus,
yes,
you've been placed here on this earth, in this time, and in this place.
Amen. Yes.
The third best practice We talked about identification. We talked about injection. You may not know the whole reason, but you rest in the fact that God knows.
Amen.
This is called trusting God. The old song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The just shall live by good music. No, that's not. The trust shall live by height. No. The trust shall live by faith. Your trust. I like the word trust.
Yeah.
Because faith, sometimes we can kind of pass that off. Trust, like trust issues.
Yeah, come on.
I ain't trusting nobody, man. Are you kidding me? I've been thrown under the bus, burned, lied to, cast out. No, I ain't trusting nobody, no way, no how. Well, you're going to walk with Jesus, you got to trust him.
That's right, amen.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to get over some of that.
Yeah.
Let Jesus heal you.
Amen.
That you cast your care on the Lord, for he cares for you. The worry, the anxiety, the emotion. You cast your burden on the Lord. That's the thing. Get rid of the thing and he will sustain you.
Yeah, yeah.
You cast not away your fearless confidence, for it has great reward. Confidence in what? Red Bull? No.
Come on.
In God and his word. Making sense, I hope?
Yes. Yes, yes.
We're here. Ezekiel chapter 33. Man, this is a kicker. Ezekiel 33 reads like this. As for you, son of man, your people are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of their houses, saying to each other, come and hear the message that's come from the Lord. My people come to you as they usually do, sit before you to hear your words, but they don't put them into practice. Now, that's pretty stiff in and of itself, but I need to keep going here. Their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Ouch. But listen to this. Indeed, to them you're nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words but don't put them into practice. Here it is. Ezekiel was a man of God. He was a prophet. He knew God. He was familiar with the supernatural, the power of God. And people, and he was popular. Hey, let's go hear Ezekiel tonight. Cool, man, let's roll.
Come on.
But they didn't go to hear from God.
Come on.
Even in entertaining a thought of putting into action whatever it said. They went to hear this prophet like you go to a movie, a concert, or a ball game. To be entertained.
Mm-hmm. I got it.
Rather than be involved. The choice that we face here, best practice number three, is involvement. First off, that God really gets involved in your life. Secondly, that you make up your mind you don't want to watch.
Come on.
You want to work and be a part.
Amen.
Pastor talked about serving. Can I tell you something that changed my life? I don't have to serve. I get to.
Come on now, amen.
I get to do what I you got to do. No, I get to.
Yes.
That changes everything.
Yeah, right.
I get to help hurting people. I get to bring food and clothes. I get to sleep on the floor and preach the gospel or an air mattress in a little deal in New Orleans with about 400 people. I get to take cold showers. Oh, Jesus. I get to go spend hours and hours on the streets.
Mom.
I get to lose my voice preaching on a street corner in bad weather. I get to leave my home and go all over the world and preach the gospel.
Thank you.
I don't have to. I get to.
Yeah. Come on.
That's right. That's good.
Let's say this together.
I
get to serve.
Get to serve.
I get to serve.
Yes,
let us make it to church. We
get to serve.
Yes, sir.
We
get to serve.
Yes,
sir. Hey, that's pretty good. When you really catch that here, it will change your Christianity.
Yay.
Jesus doesn't put you in a hammer lock.
Come on.
You will do this. If that's how he has to work to get you to do something, you are sorrier than tree.
Come on.
Jesus said, if you love me,
come on,
obey my commandments, you'll do what I ask.
Yes.
I think preachers and worship team, the entertaining thing is simply our ability to hold your attention, but that is really little to nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why we should learn how to speak publicly.
Yeah.
Conduct ourselves publicly.
Yeah.
Upgrade our speaking and our singing and our musical ability.
Yes.
For the sake of honoring the Lord and blessing people.
Yes.
But I didn't come to watch. You see, Christianity is not a spectator sport. Forgive me, this is the worst expression of Christianity we have here. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. A buck for the bucket. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Is that it?
Come on.
Is that it?
Wow.
Is this what shows we love Jesus and are believers and disciples?
Yeah.
That we can sin on our blessed assurance?
Come on.
Christianity is not a spectator sport. But it's meant to be lived in the arena of everyday life every day. Religion says this. Falling in love and walking with Jesus is going to all the world. He said, be the salt of the earth.
That's right.
The light of the world. You know what this means is we're influencing people, not just during outreach time.
Yeah.
But wherever we go, whatever we do.
Amen.
Matter of fact, honestly, the greater thrills of my life are not outreaches and campaigns and crusades, and I love that stuff. Don't get me wrong. It's kind of like my wife and I were, we took some time off. We were in a hotel and we went to the pool. And Nancy's listening to these four young ladies and she overhears them talking about church and ministry and Christianity and stuff. So Nancy just jumps right in the middle of the conversation. She said, I heard you talking about this. And she ends up mentoring these young women in the swimming pool. No, it wasn't soul winning, but she was being a little salt, a little light, influencing and helping others while hanging out and chilling. Well, we weren't chilling in Arizona, that's for sure. But nevertheless, you get the picture. You really want to take a city? Though what we do is extremely impacting.
Yes.
But to infiltrate. Every day.
Yeah.
Every way.
Yes.
You see, you and I are designed as agents of change.
Wow.
We are to influence and affect everything and everybody we come in contact with. How many of you know when you put a lot of salt on the food, man, you know it? And in a dark room, you come in, you can just pull out your phone, man, and just flip on the light. You see it all over the place. You are designed to be involved as an agent of change in the world that we live in.
Amen.
We won't pack this church
Amen.
Multiple times.
Amen. Yes.
The people that you touch every day.
Yeah, come on. That's right.
And they see you alive. They see the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yeah.
You know that. You know, our faces are testimony to you for or against Jesus.
Come
Like, what are you trying to advertise? You ain't all that in a bag of chips. Jesus paid the price, giving his life for you, you old wretch. Bigger wretch than anybody else. When you go home and people remember you 50 years later for what you were, that's pretty scary. We're to be involved in what God wants to do. That is the reason this church is here in this community.
Amen.
To identify with Jesus Christ. Right. To know that we are here for this purpose and
yes.
reason.
Amen.
And not just to watch and cheer somebody else on. I want to be a part. Whether I'm up here, whether I'm helping to fund it, whether I'm setting up chairs and praying, whether I'm a water boy and a bat boy, or I'm a pitcher, I want to be in the game.
Amen.
These three principles, identification, injection, and involvement, can set us up on a pathway pursuing the fullness of God in our lifetime.
Yeah.
One final verse in John 4, verses 34 to 36, and then we'll pray. I don't know if I went too long or too short. I'm still on West Coast time, so as far as I know, it's 21 after 10.
Come on, man.
But Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there's still 4 months more, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They are already, say the word already with me.
Already.
They are already white for harvest. It's not coming, it's here. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Could this be your setup? Let me ask you to close your eyes with me for just a moment, but if you nod off to sleep, I'll give the person permission who's sitting next to you to shake you. In love, in Jesus' name. You know, there's a part in the book of Ezekiel where God looked for a man to stand in the gap on behalf of the land so he wouldn't have to destroy it. And he couldn't find anybody. That blows my mind. I have had the privilege of serving as a pastor. Sometimes I need a little help in the nursery, an extra usher or two.
Yeah.
But God could not find one person. I'm asking today, in just a moment, for you to say, I choose to be a person who identifies with Jesus in every sense of the word. Understanding by faith that I have been injected and placed here to be involved, to be a part. But before I can ask you that question, I must ask one other. And it's simply this: are you here today? And the greatest thing you can do is identify with Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not just the Savior of the world, but he came and paid the price for your life to be made right with God. He came that your personal war with God would stop. And you're here today saying, I need to make my heart and my life right with God. It might be that, man, there was a time you made a commitment to Jesus and you started walking with him and things happened, man, and you started to get involved, do stuff, drift away, started to get involved in sin. Maybe somebody did something to you and you're holding your grudge. But you need to make your life right with God again, or maybe you're here today. And you know, you mentioned Pastor Tony coming to speak. Pastor Tony's testimony is that he hung around Victory Outreach for a few months until one day
when an altar call was given, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. He was hanging out on the edge. He kind of liked a little bit of this or a little bit of that. But until an altar call was given and he came forward and gave his life fully to Christ. Maybe that's you today. You've been hanging around on the edge. You've come. You like a few things you see or feel, but you have not opened your life to Jesus. Whatever the case is, you need to and choose to make your heart or your life right with Christ today. Either for the first time or renewed time. With no one else looking around, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right now. Say, Scott, that's me. I want to make my heart, my life right with God. God wants you to, but you need to respond today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put those down. Thank you, sir. Others, for just a moment. Secondly, this. The second question I'll ask today is simply this. You choose to be a person that moves with God. You choose to identify with Jesus in every way, shape, and form with his help. You choose by faith to understand that I have been injected. I am here for a purpose. You may not know that, but you trust God. God's leading. God's working in your life. He's placed you here. And thirdly, that reason includes being involved. Jesus being involved in you, but you being involved in serving God. Not watching others, but pitching in. You want to be involved. Let me tell you, the greatest ministry you could ever have is called showing up. Mm-hmm. You just show up. You just show up. You just show up. You just show up. And God does tremendous things by people who show up. You choose to be that kind of a person. You choose to identify, understand you're rejected, and be involved. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now. You want to make this consecration to the Lord. You raised your hands a few moments ago saying, I want to make my heart and my life right with God. Join these men and women on their feet right now. Would you do that? Matter of fact, you want to make your heart or your life right with God for the first time or a renewed time. I'm going to ask you to step further and join me right up here at the very front. Hey, you're stepping forward saying, I identify all the way, man. You say, somebody's going to think something about me. Forget about them. If they're going to think that, they need to be up here in front of you. These are serious times. Is God setting us up? I don't know, but I want to be set up to be set up. I want to be in place. If I'm moving forward with Jesus, I'll move forward into the heart of God. The plan of God, the purpose of God. I want everything Jesus has for me. That was the thing that I said when I gave my life to the Lord. I didn't know anything about Christianity. I said, Lord, if it's in the Bible, it's from you, give it to me. Salvation, healing, the baptism in the Holy Ghost, freedom, peace of heart, peace of mind. Lord, we thank you today. Lord, we honor you. We give you glory. I want us to raise our hands to the Lord for just a moment. And I want you to think of at least two things you can thank Jesus for. Begin to thank him. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And we want God to inhabit our heart, our mind, our life, our body, our thoughts. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your goodness, your loving kindness. I thank you for healing in my life. I thank you for miraculous leadership and provision. Lord, I thank you that you are a good God. Lord, I thank you that I was the first in my family to come to you and everyone else came in later on. I thank you that you are that kind of God here today. Lord, I thank you that when Jesus gave his life, he held nothing back. And today, Lord, we hold nothing back from you. Lord, if we hold nothing back, we have room to receive all that you have for us. Lord, the work that you've begun, it'll continue. We thank you, Jesus. We love you today. We honor you, Lord. We honor you today, Lord. I want us to pray a prayer out loud right now that will be twofold. The first with those that are making their heart and their life right with God. And the second part of this prayer will be where we pursue God. We identify, we trust Him that He's placed us here, and we are going to be involved in everything He puts before us. Are you ready to pray right now? Let's begin to pray out loud and blow the roof off of this sanctuary.
Amen.
Heavenly Father,
thank
you for your goodness and loving kindness. You've done more for me than I could ever deserve. You gave
Jesus Christ
on the cross, paying the price for my sin. He rose again to prove that He could set me free and make me new. Jesus, I exchange the life that I'm living for the life you died to give me. Live inside of me. I choose to identify with you. I belong to Jesus. I believe that you've placed me here for a purpose. To be a part of everything you do. I don't want to watch others. I want to be a part. You will give me the power to do so. I thank you for that today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's give God thanks. Can we do that, Lord? We love you. Come on, thank God. You may say, Scott, did God really hear my prayer? The answer is yes. If you are honest and sincere, the answer is yes. God hears and answers simple prayers from an honest heart. A case in point, 3 days after I gave my life to Christ, I ended up at a youth retreat. I don't know how I got there, but I was there. And I went forward in an altar call. Didn't even know what those were, but I did. And I just said, Jesus, use my life, the good and the bad. Do with it as you will. I'll go where you'd have me to go. Say what you'd have me to say. Be what you'd have me to be. Do what you'd have me to do. Some of you have said that over and over again. Funny. Jesus was listening. And that's the reason 48 years later, I continue to travel and preach the gospel all over the world. I had no idea what I was saying, but I felt like it was right and I was honest.
Come on.
No complication. I have no church religious background. God hears and answers simple prayers. If you meant that as you pray. You may or may not have a feeling. That is irrelevant. But God is true. He doesn't lie.
Amen.
You can count on Him. How many of you figured out you can count on God?
Amen.
God may not give you what you want all the time, but He always gives us what we need.
Amen.
But I want you to walk away from here trusting God.
Amen.
Let me pray for you. I want to share something and then give the service back to Pastor. Father, today I thank you for men and women here. Jesus, the things that they brought to this altar. Lord, there were things that they were wrestling with, things that were bogging them down, things of concern in their heart. Lord, let them be washed away. We cast our care on you. You care for us, Lord. You sustain us when we bring you our burden. You cleanse us. You heal us. If we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You are faithful and just to do that. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Lord, here today, I thank you that this is a cleansing moment on the inside that will show on the outside. I ask your blessing upon people. I thank you, Pastor, family, the leadership here, and I pray your blessings upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a moment, I give the service back to Pastor. We brought a few things that can help you along the way. My concern is that you tell people about Jesus. Some of you
see some of our stuff. I wrote a little booklet years ago called Christian Come Out of the Closet. Don't get nervous. It's not about that. Just thought I'd say it. You can read it in an hour, and it helps you talk to people about Jesus every day of your life. It's been used around the world in schools and churches. It's a great little helpful tool. Secondly, I'm just kind of crazy, and we decided to come to put out a shirt, a message that the world ought to see and know about. It just simply says this: Jesus Christ will change your life.
Yeah.
If you want to get somebody's attention, this will get it. It's great to talk about teams in our ministry, but this really cuts to the chase. So we've got a few of those out there as well that are available. Who would wear this shirt if I gave it to you right here, right now? There you go. You're close, and I don't like to throw things. Anyone, you would read this booklet if I gave it to you. Yes, ma'am. Now, I'm going to call you up and ask if you read it. No, I'm kidding. That's my gift to you. You can read it in an hour if you're slow like me, and I'm kind of slow when it comes to that stuff. Somebody said I'm slow but worth waiting on. It is always an honor. I am so excited about the work of God here in the Grand Prairie, Arlington area, how God's raised you up to be a transforming element in His hand. Pastor, thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many were blessed this morning by the
Amen.
Powerful, powerful amen. Amen. And you may return to your seats here this morning, amen, afternoon, amen. I want to do something special. I'm going to call forth an usher, amen. You know, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18, they can put that verse up on the screen. Amen. The Bible says not to muzzle the ox that treads the grain, amen. And that the worker is worthy of his wages, amen. And you know, Evangelist Scott Hinkle, he's been traveling the United States, amen. I think he's known as the missionary to America, amen. Missionary to America, and for years, I mean, like I said, for years he's done that. But you know, one of the things about Evangelist Scott Hinkle, and you know, we put the title of evangelist in front of his name because, you know, that's the gift that God gave him. Amen. The scripture says that God gave gifts to the church. And one of those gifts is the gift of evangelist, you know, and, you know, it's the fivefold ministry, right? The apostle, the pastor, the evangelist, the prophet, amen, the teacher. These are the fivefold ministry, and he has the gift of an evangelist. And you know, whenever you say, okay, it's one thing just to say he has the gift of an evangelist, but then, you know, if he has that gift, then you got to see that fruit behind him. And if one thing that I could say throughout these years of knowing Evangelist Scott Hinkle, you see the fruit behind his ministry through the outreach and the Mardi Gras, amen. But also, you know, as he was ministering, it just reminded me that even it was he's humble, he won't say it, but you know, Pastor Tony Escamilla got saved in one of his preachings, amen. It was one of his preachings, amen. And I mean, look at him now. He's a pastor now. God uses him in a powerful way. But he got saved sitting in just a service like this in Dallas, amen. A service like this, and Pastor Jesse brought in Evangelist Scott Hinkle to minister, and he got saved, amen. And he just got saved, and I love the way Evangelist Scott Hinkle brings the word, amen. You know, like he says, you know, he's not into the hoop and the holler like I am, amen. I'll holler all service. I'll yell at you the whole 45 minutes to an hour, you know. But yet, he is so powerful when he brings the word.
Amen.
And people get saved. People get saved. Like this morning, people got saved. Amen. People got saved. Amen. And you know, and this is what he does. Amen. His whole life, he has dedicated himself to preaching city to city, state to state. And if countries open up, then he'll go to that country. You know. And so, you know, and he goes out as an evangelist to preach the simple message of hope of Jesus Christ. Amen. And to encourage others to preach or to evangelize or to share their faith. And what a beautiful way that he brought that out this morning. Amen. But we want to be able to be a part of his ministry. Amen. I believe strongly in sowing seed. Amen. And sowing seed into not just our ministry, but into other ministries. And I believe strongly in his ministry. Amen. The name was Shom, right? Scott Hinkle Outreach Ministries. Shom, that's the name of his ministry. And I believe that this morning the Lord wants us to sow into Shom Ministries, into Scott Hinkle Outreach Ministries, and for us to be a part of how God is using him. Amen. We may not be able to go with him. I wish that you could take me. Can you take me with you? You know, I'll go with you. Amen. I didn't think I was going to get that response. But, we can't always go with him. Amen. But we can, how many know we can send a blessing with him? Amen. And he was sharing with me in the green room how he went to Cuba. And he says, you know, you go, there's communists. He shared a little bit. But he says, when you go, you go with your bags, but you leave almost everything behind, you know, because it's very poverty stricken, you know. And he was just sharing me how when he goes, a lot of times he leaves half his clothes. You know, they don't have medicine, so sometimes if he has a little bit of medicine, he'll leave it. You know, and we can't always take everything, but the little that he does have, that it just shows that he's willing to give all for Christ. Amen. Amen. And how many know that's a great thing? Amen. That's a great thing. And then this morning, amen, I'm gonna ask you to stand to your feet. Amen. Stand to your feet here with me this morning. I'm going to ask you to pull something special out. Amen. And if you want to give also with the square, you can do that. I don't know if the ladies are available. If you want to give, if you don't have cash, we understand. But let's sow a special seed. Amen. Let's sow something special. And not only that, but also, you know, let's buy something at the table. At his table. Amen. He has great books. The books are great. The books, if you struggle in sharing your faith, if you don't really know how to like talk to people, the books are so simple on how to teach you and to give you an understanding on how to share your faith with people, you know. And there's so many books out there, but I believe that's one of the most important things to learn is how to share your faith. So let's be a blessing there at the table. Amen. He has books there. Amen. And some material there. So let's be a blessing in that manner also. Can you do that with me this morning, church?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we thank you for Scott Hinkle Ministries. We thank you, Lord, for Evangelist Scott Hinkle and his wife, Sister Nancy, God. We pray continual healing upon her life, God. Lord, we thank you, God, that you are the God that healed us thus, God. And we thank you, God, because you've done a great work in her, God, and you continue to heal her. And as she goes through, God, everything that she's been going through, God, these past couple of years, God, we pray that you would just bless their family, bless his children, God. God, I pray, Father, that you would just bless his ministry, God. Wherever you decide to take him next, my God, we know that he's always traveling, God, from city to city, preaching the gospel. And God, I pray that God, everywhere he goes, that souls will get saved, Father God. Everywhere he goes, God, that the body of Christ will be edified and built up to reach their communities. And like he said this morning, infiltrate, God, the world, infiltrate the community, infiltrate the city, God, Lord, and that he would be a great teacher, a great evangelist, God, to continue to teach people, God, how to lead others to Christ, and that he himself would continue to lead many, many to Christ Jesus. Lord, this morning, God, bless this seed that we sow into his ministry, Father. We thank you for bringing him here this morning. Bless him, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. When you're ready to give here this morning, you can come and sow a special seed. Amen. This morning. Let's sing something special. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.